Scripture reading for this morning comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. We ask that you read the version along with us this morning that is found in the bulletin. Prepare your hearts to read God's holy word.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
There ends the reading of God's holy word. May He give His blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
It's great to see the faithful few here this morning. Everybody else is wishing summer goodbye. I don't know. You know me, I still think it's 1994, so. But I'm kind of excited this morning because we're starting a new sermon series today, and everybody who's not here today, they just missed it. So, and when they ask you about it, say, well, maybe you should have been here. Just kidding. You're free to tell them. Well, today we're starting a series called Bible's Greatest Hits. And it was really kind of tough for me to whittle this list down because there are just so many cool Bible verses that we love that are just so edifying. I think I picked ones that people are most familiar with, and some of these might be your most favorite of all, and I'm hoping that they are. In this series, going to kind of maybe take us up, I don't even want to say this, to Advent, but we're going to take a closer look at the Bible's greatest hits, some of the Bible's greatest hits, and the context in which they're found. And we're going to hopefully find out why they're so popular and how they apply to our lives. And what you might discover is that some of these verses don't mean what you thought they meant. Or you might discover that they mean a whole lot more than what you thought they meant. Because you see, quite often our favorite verses are just that. They're verses. And they're not read in the light of the passage in which they appear. And that can lead us to some misunderstandings about the true meaning of the verse. So I'm hoping that we're going to talk about things that are going to give us food for thought with the meaning of these popular verses. So the one that we're beginning with today is actually one of my personal favorites. I guess I, you know, get to do that since I'm the pastor. But it's Philippians 4:13. And I'm really, really hoping that you commit it to memory this week. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. Now, how many of you have heard this verse before? Okay, pretty much everybody has heard this verse before. Raise your hand if it's one of your favorites. Nailed it. Okay. Well, we see it connected a lot of times to sports and athletics. And that is not bad particularly, but this verse means just a whole lot more than being able to win a race. There is depth of meaning in this verse, and I am hoping that this depth of meaning will change your life. If we look at this verse in its larger context, it is just so much more powerful than we think. Now, this is what I know. All of us here this morning want this verse to be true. We all want strength for living. We all want to feel like we have life under control. And I know that many of you are worn out, many of you are burned out, you are about to pass out, and a little bit of strength would be good right about now. Can I get an amen for that? Well, maybe you have come to worship this morning totally exhausted by life. Maybe you have a tough decision to make, and you really just don't know if you're going to have the strength to make it. Maybe you have so many things on your plate that you would love an escape button. Well, you know, August for John and I has had a crazy bunch of odd occurrences where the brand new metal roof at the cabin leaked and where the driveway became like that old movie, A River Runs Through It, and it became impassable and trapped half of the family there. Where the dryer cooked all of our clothes, where the freezer, unbeknownst to me, stopped freezing. And when I needed a certified copy of my birth certificate, I found out that Ohio has no record of my live birth. Now, with a couple of other things thrown in, I finally turned to John and said actually something I have never, ever said to him before. Stop the world. I want to get off. Now your story might be even more challenging than that. The pressures of work, family, business, life might have you at your wit's end. That could be you this morning. And it is crystal clear from this verse for this week that we can find strength in Christ. For most of us here this morning, that's really not a difficult concept to understand. Christ is our rock. He is our Redeemer. But notice that the verse says that Paul had found strength in Christ. He doesn't say, you will find your strength in Christ to do all things. Now, I'm sure that Paul believed that, but Paul was giving his personal testimony at the time. He was testifying that he found all of the strength that he needed in Christ. The question for us this morning is, how can we find it? How can we go about our day-to-day lives with the strength of Christ in the waiting room, in the classroom, in the boardroom, in the bathroom, in the emergency room? And if we are honest, there are just days when we are just not that strong. We have prayed, we've been to church, we may even faithfully read scripture, but just the strength is not there. We go on vacations, we read self-help books, we listen to Dr. Phil and Joel Osteen, but the strength we need is still not there. So inquiring minds just want to know, what gives? How can we get the strength that we need? Wouldn't it be awesome to have Paul's confidence? You know, wouldn't you just love that strength of Christ that Paul is talking about to face life with power and wisdom and confidence, to experience a strength that you know is beyond yourself? And I think that that's one of the reasons why Philippians 4:13 is a favorite verse for many people, because it expresses our deep hope to find strength. We like the verse because of our hope for strength. And we look for strength and we long for strength. But many of us just don't ever find it. Well, you have come to the right place today, because I'm going to share with you how you can find that strength in Christ that you need to do all things. And I'm going to share with you how you can tap into the power of Christ and have that same confidence as Paul. You see, most people just read the verse alone, and it actually, I prefer a verse, a translation different than what's in our Pew Bible. But most of us just read the verse and we take this verse out of context and we think, okay, Christ gives me strength. You know, he gives me strength too, just like Paul. Well, in fact, if you took a poll of how many people know Philippians 4:12, I don't think many people know that verse. But you can't understand Philippians 4:13 unless you understand Philippians 4:12 and Philippians 4:11 and Philippians 4:10. We have to see the greatest hits in the light of their context. That's the only way we can really figure out how to have what Paul had, the strength in Christ to do all things. So if you want that strength today, I want to take a closer look at the verses that come before this Bible's greatest hit verse. Now Paul, he's locked up, Roman prison. He writes the letter to the Philippians, the church in Philippi, his favorite church. He made no bones about it. He founded that church. He loved that church. He loved those people. They were very special to him. And Philippians 4:13, he's kind of wrapping up the letter. He's thanking the Philippians for sending him a monetary gift to help him in prison and the ministry at large. Let's take a look at Philippians 4:10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Now, Paul is expressing how happy he is to receive their big check to help him in his situation and to help his ministry. Sending cash was the only way that church could show Paul just how much they loved him and how much they believed in him. And this made Paul happy. But Paul was quick to point out something in Philippians 4:11. I am not saying this because I am in need. Okay, so Paul is quick to tell his special friends that he wasn't thankful and happy because he was desperate. He wasn't thankful and happy because he was in desperate need for this cash. Paul was not like the pastor who announced on a Sunday morning, "Good news, we have all the money we need to finish the construction project. It's in your pocket." Paul was not like that guy. Paul was just happy for the love and the kindness that was shown to him through the gift. He appreciated the thought behind the gift. And then Paul expressed something that is the beginning of understanding the power of Philippians 4:13. Again from 4:11. "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." Okay, this is Paul's wisdom shining through. Now, Paul was an older man by the time he wrote these words. He had been through life's battles. He had survived countless bouts of persecution. He was sitting there in prison, waiting death at any moment, and he just knew what was important in life. He knew what counted. Life and faith had taught him to be satisfied regardless of his circumstances. That's what content means, to be satisfied. Paul didn't rely on the circumstances of life to dictate his happiness because he knew that circumstances are always changing. You know, most of us are just the opposite of this. We are only happy and content when circumstances are just how we want them to be. You know, we feel good when life lines up just the way we want it to line up. Then we're like on cloud nine. And we put ourselves at the mercy of circumstances. And we put ourselves at the mercy of the tyranny of the urgent. But Paul didn't do that. Paul continued, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty." Philippians 4:12, Paul's basically saying, you know, I face sad and desperate times. And I have had glorious and wonderful times. And I have lived through it all. And I have lived life. And I know what I'm talking about. Paul was alluding to the fact that he had done some dumb things when he was young. He was confessing that when he was young, that he probably made a bunch of mistakes. And one of the mistakes he had made was thinking that the wrong things would bring happiness and contentment. But he came to realize that life is a series of ups and downs. And that if you rely on circumstances in life to make you happy, you are going to be terribly, terribly disappointed. So then Paul throws in this phrase that we gloss over at our peril. Now, we don't find anything like this in Scripture, but it's pretty amazing. And it's Philippians 4:12. "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." Well, that's pretty noteworthy. He's found the secret. Paul said that he learned the secret of being content no matter what life threw at him, no matter what his circumstances were, no matter whether he was hungry in prison or comfortable in his bed with a full stomach, he knew the secret. He knew the secret to being content. Well, I don't know about you, but I want this secret. Because it does seem like a secret in the life that we live today. Everywhere you look, people are unhappy. They have everything they want, but they're still not happy. People are not content. They are not at peace. Everywhere you look, people are relying on circumstances to bring them a strength and a contentment. And they are always disappointed, and they are always left back where they started, and sometimes worse. So this does seem to be a secret. Maybe you haven't discovered Paul's secret either, but maybe you, too, would love to know what it is. Well, the truth of the secret is found in our verse for this morning, Philippians 4:13. Paul revealed it in our greatest hit for this morning. He wasn't trying to keep it hidden. The problem is we just miss it. Now here's the verse in a different translation. See if you can spot the secret. "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Okay. We always focus on the wrong word in this verse. And that's why we miss the secret. Whenever we read this verse, the word that we underline in our minds underline is strength. That's always the word we focus on. And it is an important word, but it is not the most important word in this verse. The most important word is a tiny one, and it's only two letters, and it leads us to the secret, and it is do. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul's secret to strength and contentment lied in learning to focus on what he was supposed to be doing, what he should do, not what he felt like he should have. It wasn't money, it wasn't the things, it wasn't the power, it wasn't the gifts, it wasn't the prestige. Those were not the things that were moving him on. It was his relationship with Christ and what Christ had called him to do. Paul had detached himself from the non-essentials of life so that he could focus on really what mattered for eternity. So in a nutshell, what is the secret for finding contentment and strength for living? Let go of striving to get everything that you think you should have and grab hold of what you should do. You see, it's all about have versus do. And that's always our struggle for living and our faith struggle. And that's always where we get tripped up and we have it backwards because we think once we have aced it, you know, once we have everything that we want, that we are going to be free then to do what needs to be done. Well, here's just a newsflash. We will never have all that we want. When we stop constantly striving for it, a weight is lifted off of our shoulders. But we will always have the strength to do what Christ calls us to do, no matter what your circumstances are or mine. Many of us don't have the strength we need because we are putting all of our energy into the wrong thing. Truth be told, we often put our energy in striving for what we think we should have. And it will always suck the strength out of us. It will always suck the joy and the power just right out of us. For much of the world, they have translated this verse in a different way. For much of the world, they have translated this verse, I can do all things through money that will strengthen me, but I need to get more of it. Or they translate it, I can do all things through a right relationship that will strengthen me, but all the good ones seem to be taken. Or they say, I can do all things through a better position that will strengthen me and my self-esteem, but I'm not the boss yet. Or they say, I can do all things when my circumstances improve, maybe next year. Well, now that could be the story of your life. If it is, how has that worked out for you? Have you found the strength that you need? Are you at peace? Are you content? Well, you want power and strength? Change your perspective. Do what Paul did. Take your mind and your heart off of non-essentials and focus on the eternal. Let go of striving for what you think you should have and grab hold of what you should do. Get to work following Jesus and everything else will take care of itself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Do you know that the richest people on earth are the people with the fewest needs? The richest people are those whose desire is to please God first and live for Him. Now for Paul, all things meant all the work and ministry Christ had called him to do. Now Paul did not say, I can have all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It was about Christ giving Paul all the strength he needed to do what Christ had called him to do. When we don't have strength and contentment, it isn't because Christ has hung us out to dry. Christ is there. He's alive and well. We don't have strength and contentment because we don't make room for Christ and what he has called us to do. Because we are so busy striving for what it is that we think we need to have that we don't have time to do what it is that Christ has called us to do. We spend our time and our energy on non-essentials. Now just think about how much time and energy you spend on worrying about non-essentials. The happiest and the most energetic people I know are those who faithfully serve Christ in His church. I mean, they are just dancing around because Christ just loves giving strength to those who want to be involved with what He's doing. And it just spills over. It just spills over into a life. The Bible says, He who began a good work in you will see it to completion. Many folks don't have strength for anything because they're not doing anything productive for Christ. You know, they're focusing on chasing after things instead of doing something that will last for eternity. They're not bad things. And they're probably not even things that Christ doesn't want him to have. It's just they have their priorities switched around. You will have when you do. Tell God that you will do anything for him. And just watch your life transform. You will be so alive. You will be so content and happy that you will not care anymore about striving after non-essentials of life. You will have found the secret to contentment. Now there is a famous movie. It is not a comedy, called Shawshank Redemption. Old movie, classic. And one of the protagonists is speaking to the other, and he says something that has become noteworthy in our culture, a quote. And this is the quote. Life comes down to a simple choice. Get busy living or get busy dying. Now, when I read Philippians 4:13, I get a kick in the rear end. I just hear the Lord saying, Sonny, you know, just get busy. Get busy living for Christ, you know, and get busy dying to trivial pursuits. I choose Christ. Which do you choose? Let go of striving for what you think you should have, and grab hold of what you should do, because today you need to either get busy living or you need to get busy dying. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, it is so easy for us to get distracted. And so we pray that we would have our priorities in order, Lord God. Because when you are at the top of the list, everything else falls into place. Help us, Father God. We give you permission. For we pray it in the name of the one that makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen.